Welcome to the 100 Huntley Street podcast with your hosts, Mark Masry and Laura Watson. We are so glad you are tuning in right now, and I have a question for my co-host.
Okay, I'm ready.
You are always a good sport, Mark. Here's the question. Do you think anyone is beyond the reach of God's grace?
That's a really good question. You know, with our human eyes, I think we encounter people throughout our lifetime that we have a hard time believing that they are within the reach of God's grace. I mean, I know from what the Bible teaches that no one is beyond God's grace. So, you hold on to that truth, and you have to treat people accordingly.
So important. And, you know, it's an important message to share, and that's the message Rashawn Copeland wants to share. He's written this amazing book, Start Where You Are. I'm so excited for your conversation with him because I know a little bit about his story. It's quite harrowing. You know, he had NFL dreams. He was shot. He had a career in hip-hop, which was really notable. Lived army life, but yet then he had this encounter.
Amazing encounter. He's one of these individuals that when you meet Rashawn, first you are immediately smiling because his smile is infectious. He's got such a deep sense of joy. It's a genuine, deep-seated joy, and you get that from him. His life wasn't always like that. He battled depression. He was suicidal at one point, and it wasn't until someone reached out to him on social media. Believe it or not, these are the positive, beautiful stories of social media, because we hear all the negative ones about people being
bullied,
all of the negative that can come with social media platforms. Rashawn's is not one of those stories, and you are certainly going to want to stay tuned for that conversation with him, because he talked about how a scripture verse shared with him one desperate night staring down the barrel of a gun changed the trajectory of his life. And he challenges us in so many areas. And as you mentioned, Laura, you know, had a lot of things going for him.
Yeah.
Like, and still felt empty.
Right.
And that's often the place that we can find ourselves, right? We can have everything happening for us on the career scene, in family, in romance, in money, in things, but still feel incredibly empty. And that was Rashawn's experience. And his story is one that is a story of just absolute change and new life and new beginning.
It certainly is. You know, it's one of those beautiful stories that reminds you of a lot of the big biblical tales like King David. Interesting stories, right? Weaves and turns, you know, the character of Joseph in the Bible. And, you know, to hear Rashawn talk about Jesus, as you said, his joy is so infectious, one of a kind, so unique. But I want to hear this interview right now, Mark. So let's go to that.
My guest today sat in a dark room holding a gun to his head when he had an experience that would change his life forever. In his new book, Start Where You Are, How God Meets You in Your Mess, Loves You Through It, and Leads You Out of It, influencer and online pastor Rashawn Copeland unpacks his own story in effort to encourage those that are feeling stuck and perhaps wrestling with their own sense of identity. Welcome to Huntley Street, Rashawn.
Mark, so honored to be here. I look forward to our time together. Thanks again for having me today.
You are very welcome. Okay, man, I just want to jump into your story. Like high school, you grew up in a military home, like multiple generations of military in your family, a really good upbringing. You know, you're in your high school years. You had your sights set on the NFL. You were quite the athlete, multiple scholarship offers sitting on the table. You had what people would describe as the world by the tail until something happened. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it pretty much changed everything for me. Mark, one day as I was going through high school, just enjoying everything. I mean, I had the scholarship coming in. I had the girl of my dreams, quote unquote, back then. I was really excited about life. And then unbeknown to me, my pride was going to lead me to a place that I would consider a great tragedy. I was laying out in my car with this young lady. It was late night. We're in a park. And all of a sudden, her phone rings. She gets a phone call. And me being that prideful, egotistical high school football player, quote unquote, future college football star, NFL player in my head, I was prideful when I took her phone because I knew it was a guy that was calling her that she was in a previous relationship with. But unbeknown to me, you know, he was going to try to find out where we were that night. And I made an unwise decision at that time to tell him where we were. And probably 10 minutes later, a van pulls into the parking lot. Five guys jump out of the car and they start walking towards us. I fearfully get up and get out the car, but yet pridefully again, because I'm trying to prove a point to this young lady and that I can, you know, fight these guys. I start walking towards them. They were walking towards me. And all of a sudden, I get about 4 or 5 feet away from one of them, which was that guy, her ex-boyfriend. And he reaches for his waistband and he grabs a pistol and he waves it in the air. And at that moment, I was scared out of my mind. I turn and I run and I slipped and I fell. He stood over me. Two shots ring out. Boom, boom. And at that minute, I began to scream out. They ran off. They jumped back in the van. I got back up and ran the opposite way. And I didn't know I was shot at that point because of the adrenaline, but I dove at the left side of the car, the passenger side where the young lady was. I look up into the car. She's not there anymore. Like, so I'm here all along. And all of a sudden, this van pulls up next to me and I see these headlights. And I was scared out of my mind because I thought they were going to come over and finish me off and kill me. But by the grace of God, which I think it was his mercy as well, as I'm over there bleeding on this warm or this cold concrete during a winter night, I feel this warm blood coming up my back. I just went into a panic attack and I almost died that night, brother. It changed everything for me. And I was nervous out of my mind because I didn't know I was going to live to see the next day. But here's the thing, right, real quick, Mark, that I would say, though, at that moment, there was several things that was going through my mind. Number one was, wow, where are my coaches? Where are my friends? Where's that girl? Where's those scholarships now? They weren't there, but God was there, and he met me right where I was.
Right. Coming through that tragedy, a sense of abandonment, you might think that that would be the season where someone immediately turns to God. But that wasn't necessarily your story, okay? With the athletic career taking a bit of a detour, you had to pivot. Years down the road, you find yourself as a hype man for Soulja Boy, which is a big rap hip-hop artist. And for those of our viewers who don't know what a hype man is, you're kind of like a quote-unquote backup singer. Basically. You find yourself in a state of life where you've got all this stuff. You would be the envy of others, but you were still empty. Rashawn, tell us about that season in your life and what led to that desperate night alone.
Totally, Mark. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was a time where I had just finished the military. I basically went AWOL from the military to go and seek my own fame. I went to the land of broken dreams to go seek a dream. It was Hollywood. And I found myself, you know, over time becoming really successful. I was successful, I would say, by association. My cousin was already out there doing amazing things. He was in movies like American Pie, and he was doing things with Zac Efron. So I was like literally just drawn into this circle that was already doing what I wanted to do, what I drum of. But needless to say, when the success came, no matter how great things looked on the outside, I was super miserable on the inside. And I just didn't know how to escape that depression. And that's what led me to one night wanting to take my life until I met the one who gave me life, which was Jesus Christ. And it changed everything.
One little detail that you kind of skimmed over when you talked about that night you thought about taking your life was you read a post from a young lady that you had a relationship with that was a friend. In fact, it was social media that had a really big impact on your salvation. She had sent you actually scripture. And can you tell us what that note was that night that changed the trajectory of your life and changed your focus off of your seemingly impossible situation or hopeless situation into one that had hope in Christ?
100%. And this is why I love 100 Huntley Street, Mark. And this is why I love you, brother. You guys are dedicated to getting the message of Jesus out there into the world, the message of God out there into the world. And on one of my darkest nights, again, what I was sharing with you guys, I was getting ready to take my life, the darkest moment of my life. And I put a pistol in my mouth. And there was a young lady I had met weeks ago that was from Baylor University, the only Christian girl I knew on social media. She was back ringing in my darkest moment through my cell phone. It lit up in that dark room. I went over, I set the gun down, and I picked up my cell phone and I read these powerful words that changed my life forever. But it said this: oh, how wide, how deep, how vast the love of God is, and nothing in all creation can separate us from this love that's found in Christ Jesus. And Mark, when I was reading and reading it, I began weeping and weeping, and God met me right where I was, not where I pretended to be, not where I wish I was, but right where I was, broken and a sinful man. And he met me there, brother. It changed everything right in that moment.
So amazing, in the messy middle. I love that. I get shivers as you read that scripture back, just hearing the power of those words, the power of God's word actually in our lives. Talking about the goodness of God and how deep and how wide and how vast his love for us, there were a number of years that you spent working as a detention officer. And you encountered, you write about this in your book, I'm sure you encountered a lot of interesting characters, but there's one that stands out. Tell us Shorty's story.
Awesome. Yeah. So totally. Oh, so many different type of people. I would meet people, everyone from the NBA cheerleader who just got that DUI, who literally was at the lowest moment of her life, to a guy who just committed several homicides. So there was a wide range of people that I would come across. And what inspired me to write Start Where You Are is that so many people would say, why would God have any dealings with me, a fragile human being behind these doors, behind this cell? And that's what inspired me. But one specific instant that changed everything in that jail was a young man who was on the 12th floor. He was in disciplinary segregation. I went up to visit him one day, and as I was looking, you know, through the bean hole, he was someone who was known out in the streets. He had a lot of street cred for doing a lot of messed up stuff, but he also in prison, he would do a lot of messed up stuff. So he had me do something, which I thought, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. He asked me go over to the middle of the pod to go pick up a book for him. And as I'm walking back towards him, and I get ready to open up his little cubby tray where the detention officers put his meal through, I'm putting in the Bible, or it wasn't the Bible, it was actually the Quran in there. He throws this urine on me. Yes, pee. He threw pee on me. Ooh, I could have spoken a tongue that needed no interpretation that day. It was just, I screamed out. I was so upset. But the Lord gave me grace to just walk out of there, not do anything I would regret. And I went downstairs. I was about to walk out and leave. And I ended up doing it. I told my supervisor, I'm done. I got in the car. I drove off, got to the stop sign. And I just felt the Lord tell me to go back. So I was like, go back, Lord. You know, I'm wrestling with them. And I finally turned back in blind obedience. And I go inside the jail, got a new uniform on, went back up to the cell. And I'm just wrestling with God like Jacob in that moment. And I finally get in there and I'm walking towards him. And all the inmates are laughing at me like, oh, he's back. He's back. New boot is back. And calling me all these names. And as I walk over towards the door and I look in, he's like, you know, smirking and like, would you come back for more? Would you come back for more? And I was like, no, I just came back to tell you this. And God gave me a word for him, just how much he loves him and how he's forgiven through Jesus Christ and how much he loves him and yeah, forgives him. And I was like, I forgive you as well. And I love you as well. And I walk off and I try to hurry up and get out of there. But he yells at the top of his lungs, hey, Cope, come back. Come back, as I'm getting ready to press the door to go out. So I walk back towards him. And as I'm walking up to the door cell, I'm hearing everybody yelling, the chaos in the pod. I'm looking in there and tears are flowing down this man's face. This grown man who was an inmate in there for a heinous crime. It's just flowing down. His heart is broken. And at this moment, he looks me square in the face and he says, I never had anyone tell me they loved me. And it was just that simple. It was just a simple, I love you and I forgive you. He never had anything like that happen. I guess his mom died when he was a young boy and his dad went off to prison and he's been in group homes his whole life and all this stuff. But I took the rest of the night laughing with him, crying with him, like 7 hours out of my shift after it had ended, just reading him the scriptures, and he eventually came to Christ. And here's the big thing, Brother Mark. Now he's a preacher on the south side of Oklahoma City, and he beat his case. Wow. He's a preacher now. And God used my frailty, my brokenness, to preach his word to this beautiful man. Now he's preaching the gospel.
Praise God. Praise Amen. God. You know, I can't help but think how you were a recipient of God's grace and his Amen. Love and his mercy in your life, and you extended that to Shorty. And now look what God's doing through his life in the last 30 seconds. And I wish we could talk longer, but in the last 30 seconds, Rashawn, how can someone take that next step that Shorty took that day? Maybe for the first time, maybe the first time in a long time. What is the first step?
Wow. Love it, Mark. So I would say this, you know, brokenness is typically the place where God himself, God, he stops us, he halts us, and he kills our progress. So we can see within and of ourselves, we're utterly sufficient to move forward without him. So if today you're in a broken place, God is near to you. And I want to encourage you in that. Just start there. Just call out to him. He said he loves the broken and the contrite heart. Just cry out to him with a sincere prayer. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just say, God, I need help. I need you. I can't do this alone. Surrender and make that a lifestyle, and you'll be surprised where God will take you as you get into his word and allow it to get into you.
That's so powerful. And maybe you're someone that's watching from behind bars today. Listen to the words of my brother, Rashawn. God loves you. Give it to him. Just give him your messy middle, and it's amazing what he will do. Rashawn, you know, God is using you in mighty ways. He's using you in social media. That was one of the things that really ministered into your life, and you're seeing a real need there to go out and have, you know, have a ministry there, and you're, you know, putting out podcasts, and you're doing prison ministry. So powerful to see what God has done through your life, and I love how you talk about just being radically honest with God. And that's really what it all boils down to. I want to thank you for being with us today, for inspiring us, for sharing and exuding the love of Jesus in such a powerful way. I want to remind our viewers that the book is Start Where You Are by Rashawn Copeland. Thank you for being with us today, Rashawn. God bless you and all that he's got you doing.
Thank you, Mark. God bless you too, brother. See you soon.
Society tells us we should live for today, but have we considered what lies ahead tomorrow? God promises that he has a plan for you, a plan to give you hope and a future. If you're anxious about what tomorrow holds, call our 24/7 prayer lines at 1-866-273-4444 or visit crossroads.ca/24/7prayer. Anytime, anywhere, we're here for you.
Oh, wow, Mark. I just loved that conversation. So incredible. You know, we often know about, as you said, off the top of our discussion here of the podcast, like the negative effects of social media. But here's Rashawn saying, like, his life was literally saved through a social media post. Now he's a digital evangelist as well. That's a big part of what he does in ministry, author, speaker, all those things. But what an impact his story has. And just what he had to share was so deep in so many ways for me as I was listening to him.
Yeah, I mean, if you're someone searching right now and you're questioning this God thing, I mean, I don't know how you cannot be compelled. Obviously, we know it's the Holy Spirit that draws people. But when he said God came for people who are broken with blemishes and gaps, you are not beyond the reach of God's grace. And he just even referenced King David. David wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man after God's own heart. And he exemplified what communion or close relationship connection with God was all about. And Rashawn references David, King David and others in scripture, but he's just so there's just something about the way Rashawn communicates it, because you know he's lived it. You know he's lived the brokenness. He's lived the heartache and the pain associated with life without God, and the difference that Jesus being introduced into his narrative and the impact that that's had in his life. So mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to talk with him. And this story, Laura, you know, that gets me. Like, I'm choking up even telling the story that I read in his book, you know, Start Where You Are, when he talked about Shorty in prison and how Shorty really disrespected him because mm-hmm. he was working as a, like Rashawn yep. was working as a security guard, was working mm-hmm. as a guard in the prison. And God really spoke to Rashawn in that moment to mm-hmm. go back and give him another chance. Wow. And he told him, even though he wasn't feeling it, he told him he loved him. He told this inmate that he loved him. And that was all it took to break this hardened criminal's heart to the point where he wept bitterly because no one had ever told him he was loved. Mm. And that guy has gone on to be a pastor in the south side of Oklahoma. The power of our words, Laura.
Yes, the power of our words, the power of, you know, how we let God use
us.
Our obedience, because you don't want to go and say to somebody, you know, I love you in the face of them doing something like that. We don't want to have to, you know, go that extra mile, but, you know, we do it. And I think, you know, when we do that, God is able to move in this world in ways we could not have predicted.
Amen.
You know, even the woman who sent him the social media post about how much God loves him, she didn't know he was going to be looking, you know, at the barrel of a gun, considering killing himself in that moment. And you know, and then to hear God loves him like this, nothing can separate him from the depth and the height and the, you know, the width of God's love. And, you know, if you're listening right now, maybe you need to hear how much God loves you. He loves you so much. And maybe you're wondering, even in this moment, you know, am I beyond God's grace, or is my life worth living? Is there a plan for me? Is there a purpose for my life? Is my future worth fighting for? But we're here to tell you that it is. God loves you so much. God has you tuned in this very moment for this reason. Consider this your social media post that says God loves you. And we want to encourage you to just respond to God moving right now. God is moving as you listen to this. If you need to feel loved and need to feel that sense of purpose, need a new lease on life, that starts with Jesus. And we have prayer lines standing by, prayer partners standing by. Through our prayer lines, you can call them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at any time, night or day, if you want a word of encouragement. And they're anonymous, Mark.
You don't have to leave your name. And listen, we're going to give you the number. We want you to jot it down. You call it anytime you feel like you need to hear a loving voice. You need you need to experience the love of Jesus. You will, through the voices of these people and the prayers of these people. The number is 1-866-273-4444. You can send us an email at prayer@crossroads.ca, or that phone number once again, 1-866-273-4444. And listen, folks, maybe you have been on a journey with Jesus and you feel like you've failed horribly, or you fail time and time again. Listen, whether it's the first time you're coming to him or the 700th time, don't not come back to Jesus.
Yes.
He's always got his arms open, open, willing to envelop you, willing to wrap his love around you, pick you up, because he's always after the one, Laura.
That's right. He's always pursuing you, and he's pursuing you right now while you're listening to this. And you're right, Mark, you know, and we've mentioned King David a few times in this podcast, but we'd be amazed at the falls and the ups and downs of David's life, even some of the terrible decisions.
That's right.
But God restored so much for David, and God wants to restore things for you as you listen right now. So we're so excited for you. We're so thankful you were listening and part of this conversation with us. It's a wonderful experience to do this together, guys.
It absolutely is. You've been listening to the Huntley Street Podcast with Laura Watson and Mark Masry. We're so glad you've joined us today. And just remember, your place of brokenness is right where God can reach down and transform your life. God bless you until the next time.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Centre of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.